I call this meeting of Sylvania City Council for May 21st, 2012 to order. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mike Brown.
Here.
Katie Capelini.
Here.
Doug Hayner.
Here.
Sandy Hussman.
Here.
Mark Lutke.
Here.
Todd Milner.
Here.
Mary Westfall.
Mrs. Westfall is attending her son's graduation and is excused. I welcome the remaining folks to our city council meeting this evening. If there is something you wish to address council on, please let me know by raising your hand when we get to that issue, and I will recognize you at the appropriate time. At this time, I invite you to join us in our Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
There are agendas on the two side tables if you haven't found one yet. Next thing is item three, additions to the agenda, and I do have a couple to add or to change. First, I'm sorry to say that agenda item five is going to be removed. Ms. Poppy, who is a very nice young lady, is ill and is unable to attend this evening. So we will not have agenda item five. We did hand our presentation declaring Poppy Day is May 25th in Sylvania to the organizers of that event. I want to add agenda item 12, discussion of a ribbon cutting date for the River Trail. Mr. Milner, I believe you need to add a report of the public hearing.
Yeah, I'll defer to.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to ask that we add a report from the public hearing.
I recommend that we put that in as 4A.
I have several more, though.
All right. Mr. Milner, you have anything before we move on?
I do. Mr. Mayor, I have a letter from a citizen in Sylvania Township, and that'll be a referral. So I guess we can do it under referrals.
Okay. That is the tennis court letter.
All right.
We'll add tennis courts as 11A, committee referral. Anything else, Mr. Milner?
That's all, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Lutke.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I believe we need to notice a meeting that's being scheduled of the Employment and Community Relations Committee meeting for this Wednesday. That's related to our third-party payer administrator. And I can explain that when we get to it with the help of Mr. Eichenhour.
Do you want to add it?
Add a Employee and Community Relations Committee meeting, yes.
We'll make that 10A, so you can tell us what's going on there.
Yeah.
Committee meeting notice.
Right, and then carried forward from two meetings ago, we have committed to have a Employee and Community Relations Committee meeting follow-up on TARDA. Since that discussion a month ago, we've had several new developments, I believe, last meeting, including a discussion about the current representative to TARDA. So we need to schedule that meeting as well.
Let's do that as 10B.
10B, yeah.
That's all right.
Okay. Thank you.
Additional items from other members of council?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have a, like to make a presentation to our representative for SCAT. If it's sometime, you can put it wherever you want.
But how about 4B? Would that be okay? No additional items from members of city council. Mr. Eichenhour?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Smith? Chief Rodas? Mr. Aller? And Mr. Mall?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
All right, is there a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and the agenda is approved for this evening's meeting. Agenda item four is approval of the meeting minutes from our last meeting on May 7th. Mr. Milner.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Unless there are any corrections, I move that the Journal of Minutes of the meeting of Sylvania City Council of May 7th, 2012 be approved as submitted.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that the meeting minutes from May 7th, 2012 be approved as submitted. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and those meeting minutes are approved. Added agenda item 4A, report of the public hearing held in these council chambers earlier this evening. Mr. Lukey.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I chaired that hearing because both Mr. Hanem and Mr. Milner asked to...
Yeah, and Mr. Lukey, this is probably an appropriate time before we even report on the meeting.
That was, yeah.
For Mr. Milner and I to address this. My law firm, Shoemaker Lupin Kendrick, has been retained by Lawrence University to assist it and provide legal counsel to it with regard to the matter pending before council. As a result, I am required, both by the rules of the Ohio Supreme Court and the General Assembly, to withdraw from further participation as counsel on that matter. And under our charter, I would request that council grant me authorization to push away from the table.
I'd like to move...
Mr. Milner, do you have a similar issue?
I do, Mr. Mayor. My wife, Dawn, is an adjunct instructor at Lawrence University. And per the advice of the law director of the city of Sylvania, I need to withdraw as well.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a motion that we allow both Mr. Hanem and Mr. Milner to push back on this matter.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to let those two members of council withdraw on this issue.
A clarification, that means not simply for this meeting, but for the duration of our discussion.
We will need to bring it up. The motion can count in the future, but we should review it when we get to other meetings.
Okay.
So that the audience and council remembers that they are not part of the discussion. There's a motion to allow those two members of council to withdraw from this and future discussions of the Lawrence University's PD. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and let the record reflect that they are not part of this discussion or withdrawn from this.
Right.
And then on to the report of the public.
Yes, thank you. So without the participation of Mr. Hanem and Mr. Milner, even though we hadn't officially voted at that point, and without the attendance of Mrs. Westfall, we conducted the hearing, which consisted of, and this was on application PD1 2012 from Lawrence University, requesting a change in zoning to a parcel between Convent and Brent Roads. Presentation was made by Dr. Helmer from representing Lawrence University. He addressed the recommendation made by the Plan Commission to Council last week, offering some counter proposals in terms of the site plan and suggesting that they be the basis for approval of the request by council. Two individuals spoke in support of the general concept of the project by Lourdes. Marshall Bennett, attorney for representatives of the for the residents of the condo development to the west of the site, spoke basically supporting the recommendation forwarded to council by the Plan Commission. We had public comment by a number of residents speaking against the project, generally speaking, and after hearing all of the input, the members of council are recommending to council tonight that this be deferred and considered again at a committee of the whole meeting to be scheduled for 6 p.m. on June 4th.
I heard during the public hearing requests of the administration, Mr. Aller, to give an update or report on the traffic study, and also Chief Rodas perhaps to give some insight into whether there is an impact of the Lawrence University
yes.
housing, I believe.
Well, I think the broader question that seemed to, that I seemed to hear was the impact on various crime activity and such around the general neighborhood. of the university.
So we will have them prepared to address those issues at that committee of the whole meeting.
There was also a request, I believe, by one of the members of council, that we again notify residents by, in writing, of this upcoming new committee of the whole meeting.
What's the scope of who we're going to notify? We notify the surrounding property owners of the project.
I don't see people from Conrad here. I don't know if they knew, like, tonight.
Yeah, all, like, Sue with you.
Sue's out of town.
There was only really a couple on town, but... So we did everybody across the street from, so some of the people on Brent Van Corn. So according to Ohio Revised Code, that's who we have to notify by our written letter. Otherwise, we have that also published in the legal notices of the paper.
We can also update the sign that's posted on the site to say that there will be a committee of the whole meeting as opposed to a public hearing at that date and time.
I assume we also put it on our website?
Absolutely.
So do we need a motion on that, Mr. Mayor?
I think you do.
Okay, then I'd like to make a motion that council consider this matter again at a committee of the whole meeting at 6 p.m. on June 4th.
And moved and seconded that the PD 1 2012 for Lawrence University be referred to the committee of the whole for a meeting on Monday, June the 4th at 6 p.m. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Let the record show that Mr. Milner and Mr. Hanum may join us at the table now that that discussion is over. And we do have added agenda item 4B, the presentation to a SCAT representative. Mr. Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We, as you all know, we had a car show yesterday on Main Street. We had over 200 cars there. We don't charge for it, it's free, but we decided this year that we would just put a box out and ask for contributions to Sylvania charities. We didn't name SCAT, we didn't name Family Services, you know, ask for a contribution, and we would collect the money and we would give that to, you know, one of the organizations in the city. And I'm happy to announce that we had $340 of donations. And we decided to give it all to SCAT. Sylvania Family Services was there. They ran the 50-50 raffle and sold tickets for their car. And I believe that they probably raised the equal amount of money, you know, doing those two activities. So I'd like to present this to our representative on the board of SCAT.
Thank you, Mr. Brown, very, very much on behalf of SCAT. And, I can mention to you all that we were busy the weekend before, including your mayor, at the 24-hour challenge that SCAT puts on for the kids to come. Katie Capellini was there with her daughter, I think, right? And it was a wonderful event, and this is just really, really nice, and I can't wait to share the news with Deb Cheney and the staff at SCAT. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Agenda item 5 has been removed from the agenda, so we're on to agenda item 6. This is a report of the Main Street Bridge Art. Representative is here tonight. Come on up. We're glad you're here this evening.
Thank you.
If council will remember, there was some, there were four limestone panels that have been designed into the piers at each corner of the new Main Street Bridge. We originally envisioned some bronze art to go on there, but the Art Commission reviewed it and came up with a suggestion to have ceramic designs made here in Sylvania depicting different Sylvania scenes, and you're back to tell us about those and tell us that they're pretty much ready.
They are ready. We just are ready, waiting for the area to be ready to have the tiles put up so they're put up safely, and making sure that they're intact and ready for the city to enjoy. So hopefully you all find them as impressive as we did. We were very happy to see the way they turned out, and here to answer any questions you might have about them.
These designs were, I think, brought to you and to the mayor's office and administration 6 months or a year ago, and we had some input at that time, and it is wonderful to see them now developed. They're actually physical pieces. These are not renderings. These are photographs of the actual artwork, and they are prepared and can be put on those bridge piers, and I know that the Art Commission is hoping to put them up prior to or shortly after the ribbon cutting of the River Trail.
Yes.
Which we're going to discuss a little later. One of them does talk about the River Trail. You see on the artwork, that one will go on the northeast pier, near the entrance where you have that inclined walkway going down towards the River Trail. It's also one about Tree City, one about our Freedom Trail, and one about American Settlement. All wonderful things about Sylvania, and they're made right here in Sylvania by an artist, a sister, who makes the big murals. You've read about her latest one going on the south wall of the new dining hall at Lourdes. This is just a wonderful thing for our bridge, and I'm glad that the Art Commission played such a good part and came up with this better idea.
Yeah, thank you. This is very cool. Thank you very much.
And why don't you talk about this?
We have a very exciting event coming up on June 1st and 2nd, kicking off the Maple and Main Art Fair, starting with a gala that's being done in cooperation with the Chamber of Commerce, and that is to celebrate Walter Chapman's 100th birthday. Very exciting. And then moving forward from that, we have the art fair on Friday evening and Saturday all day, and it's truly turning into become a very impressive festival of the arts, I think. We have live music, we have artists, we may have some other entertainment showing up as the day goes along, but we have participation from both Southview and high school students are going to have stands, and also the Toledo School for the Arts. So it's really shaping up to an event that hopefully we'll see all of that, and we have great expectations, and already a number of people that don't know me, just in conversation, have said, I've seen it, I can't wait to come. So we actually have an overflow right now of the volunteers that we need to. So we're very excited, and I think the community is going to really enjoy it. So hopefully we'll see all of you there.
It's terrific. I did not give you a chance to introduce yourself and your company.
I'm Jennifer Archer. I'm the new executive director for the Sylvania Community Arts Commission. So anytime you have any questions, please let me know. I'll introduce myself.
I'm Todd Madison, board member of the Arts Commission. I'm here representing the more or less the material needs and the information about the murals, if need be, because I work in ceramics with Sister Jane Mary Seroziak as well.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for sharing this with us. I think it's valuable. Hopefully we'll see you there. We will.
Thanks for being patient with us this evening. We're glad you stayed with us.
Thank you.
Moving on to agenda item 7, you have in your council packets a report from the law director concerning events and background on the lighting that's been under discussion at Flower Hospital. Mr. Mohn.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I had the opportunity to review at the request of City Council the events that did lead up to, from our perspective, the installation of the lighting around the Flower Hospital structure. And I've summarized it. I'm prepared to respond to any questions there might be. I then conducted a search of our codified ordinances as it relates to signs and pulled out the appropriate sections of the code that that would be applicable for consideration. I commented on any deficiencies that might have been in the process, so that's noted, and then a summary response indicating the application of the facts that are presented with the code and the recommendation or the position of the zoning department and the director of public service, considering whether or not there's a violation of our code. And with that, I can fill in anything else that might be of interest or help conduct the discussion that you would you'd want to move this towards.
You're emphasizing your report a couple of times that you do not interpret the lighting on the building to be a sign, but that determination is based upon the existing reduced level of that illumination.
What we did is we pointed out the code sections, it was clearly the position of the zoning department and the director of public service that the lighting level that was present in the signs as it exists today did not rise to the level of falling under the definition of sign as held out in our code. Yes.
Mr. Hanum.
I can't state more strongly, I disagree entirely with your conclusion. I think this is, I think the lighting is clearly a sign within the definition of the code. I also understand that I'm a legislator here, not the administrator. And so, as the chair of the zoning and annexation committee, and since I had significant role in this, and the drafting of the sign code, I would intend to clarify the code and be even more explicit than we already have. Although when I look at 1166.04NN, I think the lighting on the hospital clearly meets the definition of sign. I know, and I guess I will, I don't have a proposed addition tonight simply because I was surprised at the conclusion, but I will shortly, and I guess at an appropriate time this evening, I would suggest that we schedule a zoning and annexation committee meeting to consider amending the code to give the administration clearer direction to what I thought would have already been regulated as a sign.
Mr. Mayor?
Mr. Moe.
I appreciate the comments from Mr. Hanum. I would point out again, perhaps one to just understand the process of how our code is enforced or would be enforced. We have two processes that can be applicable to enforce our code should a violation be determined preliminarily to have occurred. One is there's a civil infraction section, and the other one is the a criminal violation. Civil infraction would basically commence with the zoning department feeling that there is a reason to invoke the civil portion of our codified ordinances. The other one is a process to begin a criminal violation. The way that normally would be is that our zoning inspector, if he felt that there was a reason to file a criminal charge or for criminal violation, would go to our prosecutor's office, and a probable cause determination would be made on something like that. In this case, the feeling of the administrative staff was that it did not rise to that level, so we did not even take it to the next step, which would have been to turn it over to our prosecutor's office to make a determination if they felt, in their judgment, that a violation occurred. So we have left it at this stage as to where we feel the facts apply to our code. There are gaps. I agree Mr. Hanum. There's a way to perhaps address in our code how to deal with this type of lighting in the future, and I look forward to working with him and trying to tidy that up.
Mr. Mayor, I appreciate, although I'm not sure I agree with Mr. Moen's conclusions, I'm not an attorney, so I need to accept them, but I think we shouldn't forget that this issue was brought to us by Mr. Ike, a resident on Haroon, and I think reflects the view of a number of neighbors over in the Flower Hospital area. And I guess my question is, now that council has this information, how are we going to get back to Mr. Ike and those neighbors and make them aware of what appears to be a situation where we really have very little choice but to allow the signage to continue on?
Mr. I challenge council to do two things. One, to make them take down the lights.
Right.
And two, to change the code so that this couldn't happen again.
Right. And I'm pretty confident with Mr. Hanem's earlier comments that that second piece is going to be taken care of, and I'm happy to be part of that process.
The first part, I believe Mr. Sanford has been in contact with Mr. Ike. He calls to see what the status is, and he has made some comment about if the lights are not down by June 6th or something. What is that status?
Mayor, I think he indicated that he would like to come and be on the council agenda at the June 4th meeting.
The more the merrier.
I think, yeah. But maybe if there needs to be contact with him, he would not, unless he saw it in the paper or whatever, had received this, but we could get that to him, Jim's response.
So, can we ask the hospital to take him down? I mean, have we had, I mean, they can't miss the signs out of the room. And I agree with Mr. Hanem as I'm like reading through this and highlighting, and then I have question mark, question mark, question mark. How did you get to that conclusion? After reading our code, it just doesn't even make sense. So I'm all for changing the code. I think they're definitely in violation. But before we have a prosecutor contact them, can we just ask them? Has anyone asked them to take them down?
Many people have asked them to take them down.
I mean, not just the neighbors, but...
The city has not ordered them to take them down, no.
Well, not ordered, but at least have started...
They've made it quite clear that they're not going to take them down unless we order them.
Their response was to decrease the how bright they were, and they did do that. That was the response.
That's a significant improvement.
Right.
I think it's important to note that Flower Hospital is not the only operation in our city that uses these lights. We have a restaurant right on Monroe Street, Chow's, that also uses similar lighting. So I think I've got as all everybody around this table, a lot of concerns about this issue, but I think we need to look at this whole thing comprehensively.
Well, I think the difference with channel predates our this current definition of sun, and I think the this lighting just clearly falls within this definition, and I guess we can be. I'm going to have to think about how to be more explicit about
that. You know, I think there's another piece, and this is not legislation. I think it's just the way maybe individual members of council will consider requests from Flower in the future. I guess what's most disheartening to me as I read Mr. Moe's report is that there seemed to be a definite lack of transparency on the part of Flower about what its intent is and was, you know. I mean, I think I'm not a conspiracy theorist at all, but it looks like we're working pretty hard to fly beneath the radar on this piece, you know. And we're asked in a variety of ways every year to support things on that campus. I appreciate the fact that they're an important employer in the community and, generally speaking, have been a good neighbor. But I'm just going to be a little more suspicious in the future about things that they ask us to help them with. And that's just an outcome that I think is the result of how this process went forward. So, you know, that's an unintended consequence, I think, of them wanting to put up their signs.
Well, it looks like Mr. Dombey brought this issue to our attention, and we told him he didn't need a permit. I mean, I know Phil pretty well, and this is Phil's a good lawyer. He wrote what I he confirmed it, and my guess is he contacted him because he had questions about it. So, in this instance, I guess I'll take some of the blame for this, for not being clear enough in the sign code, but we're going to be really clear about this going forward, I guarantee.
They didn't let him do the transfer.
Exactly. I have a code question. So a general question. If somebody puts up lights in their parking lot and they're too bright and they shine in all the neighborhoods, is there a code prohibiting that? like how far your light can shine in somebody's window? I mean, could that apply to this in any way?
The answer is, are we talking about a residential? Are we talking about a commercial business that's asking for a zoning change? Yeah, the answer is we would look at that, yes.
So if we can't get them under the sign code, we could get them under, I don't know what the code is, a lighting code. I mean, it's clearly, I mean, violating all the residents around them and shining in their windows.
That you ask a good question, and that was considered by the administration in this thought process. And in discussions with the service department, maybe I could defer to Mr. Adler on that, because I sort of anticipated that question might come. But I think that the intensity of the light as it presently, I think the position of the service department is that the level of intensity of that light in its reduced level would not, in their opinion, rise to the level of action for the lighting escaping the footprint of the Flower Hospital campus, given how far back it is from the roadway, et cetera, et cetera.
But it is escaping.
Well, there's a difference between, I'll defer to Mr. Adler, because I don't want to put words in his mouth who would be interpreting that.
Yeah, the infringement of light, where light shines from one property into another, is that the light shines into that property. In other words, you have your back to a curtain, you have a completely black room, you open the curtain, and now you have light in that room. Those lights would not do that to the homes along the road.
Well, they might want to go.
Are they visible? Yes, they're visible. But a light being visible doesn't mean infringement on an adjoining property. Person's porch light could do that to their neighbor across the street.
Well, I think Mr. Ike said his living room was green now.
You know, during this discussion, going through my head, we do not want to make our community so restrictive that people will be unwilling to invest their hard-earned money in our community. So we need to be very careful with how we redo our codes and stuff, and not become so restrictive that we'll drive people away. It really scares me when you try to fix everything. And, you know, I'm not an attorney, and I really didn't understand what was going on back and forth here. But I think we need to use some common sense with our codes and not have them be so restrictive that people will no longer want to come to our community. But I just caution council that we need to, you know, we walk a fine line here.
And I agree with that, but I think we also need to look, I know that someplace we discussed about the possibility of a neighborhood, if somebody chose to highlight their home. So I do think this is an issue that I'm glad to hear that Mr. Hanum is going to take up for further review in his committee.
So how do we decide to reach out to Mr. Ike? Is Bill going to do that?
Okay. And we will, if Mr. Ike wishes, we will put him on the agenda for either the June 4th or the June 18th meeting of his choice. Because his date was after June 4th before.
Mr. Mayor, I know in the neighborhood they do have signs up. The signs that they had up about looking like Las Vegas, they've handwritten next meeting June 4th. So I think they're promoting that they're going to be here on June 4th, but certainly need to be.
I saw those also.
We will have a busy house on June the 4th. All right. Let's move on to agenda item 8, which is the Highland Meadows fencing project that's been in front of you before. They came in and asked to help provide a loan to help them put this fence up. It's beneficial for both the city and Highland Meadows Golf Club to do this. These are the two documents necessary to accomplish that. One is a licensing agreement, which Mr. Moan, correct me if I'm wrong, but this allows them to build out in the right-of-way underneath the high voltage lines. And then we have a second one talking about the actual terms of the financing.
That's correct, Mr. Mayor. Actually, the fence that's presently there is in our right-of-way. There's just no license agreement to go with it, so we're going to retrack it and do it. And that gives them the right to be there as long as we don't need it for other purposes, and just sort of tidies up that issue. And the other one is merely a recitation of the terms and agreement to extend the loan of $50,000 at 2% over a two-year period.
Mr. Milner.
Mr. Mayor, when the president of the golf club was here and made the presentation, there was some discussion as to how far they were going to take this fence, whether or not it was going to be prudent, whether they're going to have the financial wherewithal to take it as far as they had hoped. Is there any further discussion on that?
Yes, Mr. Aller may be able to answer this, but the message that I received is they're going to go the full length of the existing chain link fence now. All the frontage along Erie Street is what I believe they're doing. Correct me if I'm wrong on that, Kevin.
I can't deny or...
I think that was... Scott, did you read that?
Yeah, the last email that I read.
Yes. Yeah.
The way I understood it, they're going to do the whole length of the street.
Well, that'll clearly look better than... I'm sorry, Kevin. I knew I read it. Doing just a portion of it, so I'm glad to hear that.
They are putting up the decorative fencing, which is the aluminum fencing, vertical slab, aluminum fencing 6 feet high. They are not building brick piers.
This is a significant improvement in the visual appearance of the club and what people who drive that every day will see. Yep. And while I would generally not, you know, encourage being a bank for private development, I think this is, we get a good bang for our buck here. And we are getting interest on this, which is probably comparable or better than what we're doing on the bank right now anyway. So I think this is a very supportable project.
There are two ordinances to read. The second one is clearly financial, which could be the chairman of the Finance Committee. The first one's a licensing agreement. Perhaps, Mr. Hanum, you'd read that one.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, I move adoption of Ordinance Number 32-2012. All members of council having received copies, I will read by title only. Granting the Highland Meadows Golf Club a license to enter a portion of the city-owned right-of-way to construct, maintain, repair, and replace fencing. Authorizing the Mayor and Director of Finance to sign the license agreement, waiving the second and third reading, and declaring an emergency.
Second.
And moved and seconded that Ordinance Number 32-2012 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Mr. Mayor, I move final passage of Ordinance Number 32-2012.
Second.
And moved and seconded for final passage of Ordinance 32-2012 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and Ordinance 32-2012 is approved. Now we have Ordinance 33-2012. Mr. Milner.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce Ordinance Number 33-2012. All members of council previously receiving copies, I'll read by title only. Authorizing the Mayor and Director of Finance to enter into a joint cooperation agreement on behalf of the City of Sylvania, Ohio, with Highland Meadows Golf Club for fence improvements, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
And moved and seconded that Ordinance Number 33-2012 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Move final passage, Ordinance Number 33-2012.
Second. Moved and seconded for final passage of Ordinance 33-2012 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and Ordinance 33-2012 is approved. Moving on to agenda item 9, we have in your council packets the service director's report on the Safe Routes to Schools project, asking authorization of the clerk to advertise for bids. Mr. Aller, update on the project.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Plans have been approved by the Ohio Department of Transportation and the Federal Highway Administration, and this project will upgrade school zone flashes and signs at Highland and Maplewood Elementary Schools, as well as McCord Junior High School, and then there will be signage improvements at Silk Elementary School. The cost of the project will be fully reimbursed by Ohio Department of Transportation funds, and even though it's not our money, the estimated cost of the project is just under $183,000. And I would ask for approval of that.
Just need a motion.
So moved.
All right. All right, it's been moved and seconded to authorize the clerk to advertise for bids for the Safe Routes to School project. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Have you set a bid date yet, Mr. Aller?
Just prior to Wednesday, prior to June 21st.
That'd be 5 days ahead of it, so it'd be the 16th. No. It's the 20th.
13th.
13th, that sounds better. Okay. Moving on to agenda item 10, committee reports. Mr. Kurlucki, you added agenda item 10A to notice a meeting.
Yeah.
On Wednesday.
And I misspoke, Mr. Mayor. I feel like I took third party administrator. What we're talking about here is a managed care organization, which is the outside consultant that the city typically hires to manage its medical, the medical portion of its workers' comp. I'm going to ask Mr. Eichenauer to correct or clarify that.
Okay. What this is every 2 years, we are obligated to choose a managed care organization, and what this does is they handle our medical claims for all of our injured workers, along with attempting to get them back to work in a timely manner, either part-time or, you know, some type of light duty. Last year we changed to a new organization, and this year that organization, plus the one we had before, has asked to come in and offer, you know, a presentation. They'd like to service us again for the next 2 years. So what we'd like to do, this is basically an administrative function, and we go ahead and take care of it. There's no cost involved at all. And so what we'd like to do is have Mr. Lucas' committee Wednesday at 4 o'clock, their presentations from both groups, so they have an idea of what it's all about, what both groups do, how well they fare to the state on how they perform, and, you know, get some feedback. And then this has to be done by Friday. That's the last day. Their enrollment period is between April 30th and May 25th. So, pretty much
is it. Right. So, this is on the calendar of each of the committee members already. We just have to formally notice it. My sense is the committee's role will be somewhat advisory in nature as opposed to actually making a formal selection or recommendation. So, Margie, if you would do that. Right. Could I go on to the second piece?
Yes, and agenda item 10B.
Yeah, we also need to schedule for the same committee a separate meeting to follow up our discussion on CARTA. We made a commitment to get this done by the end of May, so that means we need to look at next week, I think.
Mr. Lucky, I just want to note, reading from the minutes, that so there's no confusion, this is not directed directly at Tom?
No.
Per se,
no.
It's simply to for the criteria for our target.
Right, but since you had some discussion at the last meeting about that matter, right, we add it to the agenda.
And I just want to make right clear it was not a
right at a time. And my intention, since the TARDA discussion was fairly wide-ranging 2 meetings ago, I'll put together an agenda so that we all can agree what we're going to be talking about. How do we look on Wednesday afternoon, the 30th?
All
next week.
Mm-hmm. Visitors from Australia, and then we're taking them to Niagara Falls. So.
Okay. So how do we want to handle that? You want to have a we certainly have the ability not to get it done by the end of May and do it in the first part of June. Are we okay with that?
I'm fine with it.
And I think the intention was perhaps have Mr. Gee invited to that meeting.
Yeah.
We may need a little bit more notice than that.
Yep, yep. How do we feel about afternoon versus morning meetings with this group? You all are pretty flexible, right?
Mornings are...
Mornings.
Okay.
Mornings better for you?
Mornings are better.
Name a day, yeah.
Okay. Mornings are better. How about Wednesday the 6th?
Okay.
At what time?
8:00.
I am unable to be here. Not that I'm not part of your committee.
Are you out just that day?
I am out that morning with the state of Ohio.
Well, how do you feel about that? You want to be here?
Probably, it's fine without me. This is your committee, and I think that'll be fine.
Who can contact Mr. Gee? You want me to, or you want to do that?
I can either contact him directly, or I can call Mr. Ramstow.
Yeah, would you do that?
I will be happy to do that. You're scheduling the meeting for 8 a.m. on Wednesday, June the 6th?
Right, and like I said, I'll do a little bit of review of the minutes and put together an agenda, circulate it to members of the committee ahead of time, and give that way we'll be able to give Mr. Gee some idea of why we wanted to come over. Okay, Margie, so you'll notice that as well. And then just to remind members of council, we have a already scheduled meeting of the Economic Development Subcommittee, I believe, for this Thursday at 8:00, and that's to discuss and hear Mr. Moen's discussion about the CRA policy for the city. Very important matter, I think. Okay, that's it, Mr. Mayor, for me.
All right. Mr. Hanum, you said later in the meeting you might want to set a zoning and annexation committee meeting. This would be the time.
Well,
if you're prepared to do so.
I think I want to meet with Mr. Moen and figure out how to best draft. I got some legwork to do before I'll be ready to do that.
All right.
Now that I think about it.
Very good. And I think if there's no further committee reports, let's move on to agenda item 11, which is committee referrals. Mr. Milner, you have one, 11A, tennis courts.
Mr. Mayor, a letter came to City Hall addressed to all members of Savannah City Council. I'll read the letter. It's dated May 15, 2012. And under the regards, no public tennis facility in Savannah or Savannah Township. Hello, it's truly amazing to me that the city of Savannah, as well as Savannah Township, in which I live, do not have a public tennis facility. True, you list on your website the tennis courts of JCC YMCA. However, are those open to the public? I think not. Also, the courts of the two high schools are often being used by the schools, and the courts, especially at Southview, are poorly maintained. It is truly shameful that you have no public tennis facility for the residents of the city and township. Tennis is a lifetime sport with many health benefits participated in by many, and yet you have made no provision for it anywhere in the community on a public basis. It's about time for a public and well-maintained tennis facility in this community. With all the land at Paysetter Park, you could not find any place for tennis. This is a quality of life issue in which Savannah and the township are sadly lacking. And it's this letter from Alan Thompson, the 2926 Heisler Road in the township. My thought is to pass this letter on to Mrs. Capellini, who's our Sage Yard representative, and
there's a meeting tomorrow morning.
I second that.
All right. I can tell you that I received the same email. I did respond to him by saying that I was forwarding his email on to Sage Yard and the school district. Sage Yard, because they plan, construct, and operate recreational facilities in our community, and school district simply because of the negative comments about the facility at Southview. I have not, I just got an email back from Ken Katafias saying he would look into it, but I have nothing more than that. It's probably appropriate for discussion.
I'll read the letter tomorrow.
Okay, thank you. We don't need to vote on that, I don't know.
No.
Okay, any other committee referrals at this time? And on to added agenda item 12. Discussion of a ribbon cutting date for the river trail. Mr. Allard.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We are very near completion of the river trail. All the seeding and restoration work has been completed. The railing should have been completed by now, but unfortunately, there was a manufacturing problem with them, and we had to send them back for improvement of the workmanship. And but that should be, they should be back and installed within a week's time frame. So I'm looking with what I heard tonight with Mrs. Hussman, we're looking at the first week of June for a ribbon cutting.
The time of day?
In the past, we've had press releases and things like that at about 11 o'clock. But it can be at any time to council's wishes.
Were you looking to Friday the 8th, Mr. Allen?
Friday the 8th would be fine.
Not good for me.
Not good for me either. Earlier in the week would be fine.
Yep.
Any day is fine for me, so whatever works for.
That time of day, the only day that week I couldn't do it would be the 4th. I could do the 5th, the 6th.
How about the 6th? That's a always a good news day.
Yeah, I can't do the 7th. So the 6th, I think that's a great day.
I am out of town with the state of Ohio until at least noon.
No.
How about the 5th?
How about the 7th? Thursday the 7th. We have committee of the whole at 7:30 a.m.
Yeah, I have an appointment on the 11th.
Tuesday?
Just do it at 9 o'clock on the 7th. I mean, what's the 9
no,
o'clock, 11?
No, they don't show up at night.
No one's going to show up.
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
I mean, people, like, I've gotten great compliments on people walking on it. People are already out there using it, and people think it's great, but whether they're going to show up for a specific ribbon cutting and then.
Well, we're talking media, right?
Right.
Not people.
Yeah.
He's over there.
What about 10 a.m. on the 7th? Would they show up at 10 a.m.?
Yeah. But the mayor.
Would that give you time to get where you need to be?
Well, we have a 7:30 a.m. committee of the whole meeting, don't we? Street
yeah.
Planning. We did it at 10. We did it at 9. It's right at, almost right after the meeting. And people go to work at 9. You don't think the press is going to work at 9 o'clock?
It's hard for them. That's when they're coming in. I don't know. You know, clock is crazy. I've never done this before. So.
We ruled out the 5th, right?
Huh?
Did we rule out the 5th?
5th is fine.
Yeah. At what time?
11:30 or noon or whatever.
You know, what would be great would be 1 o'clock.
What on time? The 5th?
On the 5th. It would be just...
What time?
1 o'clock on the 5th.
I will not be able to make it. I'm having 2 implants.
Did you make it at 11?
12:45. I can make it at 11. The appointment's not until 12:45.
11 a.m. on the 5th? On the 5th?
Is there somebody sure. Can't make it then?
No. I might not. An assembly at school, an awards assembly
11:30?
11:30 should be good.
But if they give the awards alphabetically, you should be in and out.
11:30 should be good.
You mean the Main Street Bridge?
No. I was actually meant the bridge, the new bridge, crossing.
Oh. Okay.
I guess we have to pick an end of the bridge, but you can come from either direction, park behind the route, or you can park up behind the Marco's Pizza and just walk down there. That's where we had the groundbreaking.
Right.
I parked there.
Yep. Over on the pavement, so. All right. That brings us to the end of our agenda. Are there any other items for council to consider at this time? Hearing none, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to adjourn. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries then, and this city council is adjourned until our next meeting on Monday, June the 4th at 7:30 p.m. Thank you all for attending.